Glory to God again. I thank the Lord. Thank Him for all of you that more and more I see have joined us, and we praise God for you. We don't take it lightly. We thank the Lord, and I solicit your prayers as well, and we're going to go on and just see what the Lord has prepared for us tonight. I said for us. I may be the one that's kind of delivering the mail and giving you the mail, but guess what? That word is for me. And that word, it doesn't go out and return to God void, but it will accomplish for whatever the Lord intended or purpose for it to accomplish. We are going to talk about a church of compassion, a church of compassion. And who is the church? Who is the church? The church is the blood-washed body of believers, and that would mean you and I. If you are saved, you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are the church. We are the church. You know, when people come to our church, to that physical building, we want the people to feel warm. We want to feel they can feel the Spirit of the Lord in the place, because the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And I can recall many years back when I gave my heart to the Lord, even at the age of 14 years old, I walked into that church. I was only in the vestibule, praise God, of Deliverance Evangelist Church, and I didn't know a lot about salvation or anything. I didn't even know about the anointing, but I did know this one thing. There was something different. And when I walked in there, the power of the Lord was in that place. When a church has true compassion, true love, people will know it. A stranger will know it. Praise God, because that's how the love of God is drawing. The Holy Ghost just surrounds and gives you that warm feeling like, yes, you belong. Amen. I praise God for that. So when we talk about the church, we're talking about the body of Christ, the body of believers. But tonight we're talking about a church with true compassion. So you say, what is compassion? The meaning of compassion is to recognize the suffering of others and then take action to help. Compassion embodies a tangible expression of love for those who are suffering or maybe less fortunate or going through trials or tribulations. That's the Bible tells us that love is action. Another way of looking at the word compassion, it's the selfless expression of love that motivates people to go out of their way and to relieve whether it be physical or the mental or emotional pains of others. And so compassion is often regarded as being a person who is sensitive to the emotional aspects of the suffering of others. That's what compassion is. Jesus is not referred to as the compassion of the suffering Christ. He was compassionate. I want to take a look at five aspects of compassion, and they all actually join together and stem from this word compassion. Generosity, number one. Generosity is giving good things to others freely and abundantly. In other words, willingly. You're not stinging. You know, you open up your heart. Yes, no one has to hold a hammer over your head and say, listen, you better give. No, generosity, it comes from the heart automatically. Here, I want you to have this. I want you to have the best. I want you to eat the best. I take pleasure in serving you. Amen. You know, God says He loves a cheerful giver. Praise God. You know, I'm just going to stop right there. And we're going to do a lot of reading tonight. So, but I have to read and let you know this, because I just don't want you to just take my word for it. But you take God's word. 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. And we're going to be at the 6th and 8th verse, 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 8. And here's what the word says, and I'm going to be reading it from the Amplified Version. It says, remember this, He who sows sparingly and grudgingly will also reap sparingly and grudgingly. And he who sows generously, that blessings may come to someone, will also reap generously and with blessing. In other words, just like you bless somebody else, those blessings will come right back to you. Verse 7 says, let each one give as he has made up in his own mind and purpose in his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion. No one's making you do this. He said, for God loves, he takes pleasure in, he prizes above all things, and is unwilling to abandon or to do without, a cheerful, joyous prop to do it, giver whose heart is in his giving. Isn't that blessed? And the Bible says, and listen, think about this. After you've done this, as unto the Lord, you've given out of your heart. Verse 8 says, and God is able to make all grace, not some of it, but all grace. In other words, every favor and earthly blessing, he's able to make that be always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be, self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnish in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. God is able. He's able to bless us abundantly to that person who has that generous heart. We're going to move on. Number two, hospitality. It's another aspect of compassion. And it goes right along with generosity because it is the friendly and generous reception and entertainment of guests or visitors or strangers. Amen. I love when people come to my home. I want them to feel that spirit of hospitality. And, you know, it's not hard for me to do because it's just in my heart. It's just there. Hallelujah. I praise God for that because he put it there. Amen. Praise God. I love serving. And there's many ways that we can serve hospitable. In 1 Peter 4, 9, it says, we are to show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Mm-hmm. Not without complaining. Another part of Scripture says that we ought to prefer your sister or your brother ahead of you. Give them what you want. Let them have it. No, you go ahead. You have it. That's love. That's hospitality. We are to be cordial and graceful, not mean or hateful, but cordial and graceful. Say amen to that. Galatians 6, 9 to 10 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And we have, therefore, opportunity. Let us do good unto all men as opportunity presents itself. Especially, it says, do good to them who are the household of faith. Praise God. Just a reminder, generous, hospitable. Number three, the objectivity, another aspect of compassion. In other words, it's objectivity is lack of favoritism. We can't afford to play favoritism. So, no, I'm going to bless you because you look good, you got money, and I like the way you dress. And so you go ahead and sit there, and I'm going to favor you. No, that's not that. That's not the spirit of compassion or objectivity toward one another. But objectivity is freedom from being biased. In other words, you're neutral. You're open and letting God speak to your heart. Lord, how would you allow me to minister to this person? How would you want to bless this person? How should we open up our doors to provide for the need that we know there is a need in this person's life, for example? Number four, sensitivity, the ability to understand other people's feelings. Just have that heartfelt. Sometimes when you're walking closely with God, you have that spirit of discernment. And sometimes the Lord will allow you to tap into that. That when you can know the person hasn't said anything, they didn't even say they had a need. They were still smiling, smile on their face. But the spirit of the Lord spoke to you. You were sensitive to that. And you obeyed whatever God laid on your heart to do. And number five is tolerance. And it's the ability, tolerance is the ability to deal with something unpleasant. or knowing, or to continue existing despite bad or difficult condition. My God, think about Jesus. My, what long suffering he had. What tolerance he had. Oh, my God, think about the times when people just called him everything but the Son of God. That people went as far as calling him a Beelzebub, said that he had a demon. But, you know, thank God that he was long-suffering because he came to do the will of his Father. So we have to be tolerant, even in maybe the atmosphere or maybe the conditions aren't ideal for you. Do you know there are missionaries in different parts of the world and in remote areas? But they are there because God sent them there, because God empowered them to do what it is that they have to do. And it's not ideal, maybe be hot in the scorching sun, maybe their food is not that good, even in areas where they don't even have good, clean, running water. Hallelujah. Let me tell you what, we are blessed. Yes, I am talking about a church of compassion. And if we're not a church of compassion, you might as well shut the door, close the door, lock it up, put a padlock on it, because that's not where the love of God would have us to be. But when we have opened our hearts and we are a loving institution, why? Because we, the church, the body of Christ, are there showing that imminent love that comes from heart to heart or from breath to breath. That's what real church is about, being a church of compassion. Say, Lord, make me a church of compassion. Help me to have the compassion like you expect. Amen. So note, compassion and all these different aspects are all part of compassion. However, all these aspects are directly related to the character of God. Why? Because we know that God is love. It is love. Praise God. I remember the song that we used to sing back in the day talking about love lifted me. When nothing else could help, it was love that lifted me. Praise God. Love lifted you and I. Praise God. Amen. I'm going to read a portion, just three or four verses from the love chapter. You know this chapter. It's 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, the 3rd through the 7th verse. And it reads, charity suffers long. Yes. Charity is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It don't try to put itself on display. And it's not puffed up, not proud. Praise God. Number five, it says, charity, it does not behave itself unseemly. It seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, and it thinks no evil. It's real charity, real love. Verse 6 says, charity rejoices not in iniquity, but it rejoices in the truth. Charity does not be happy and rejoicing over it because someone made a mistake or they something happened that was they weren't proud of. But real love, real charity will go into a prayer, will lift that person up in prayer, will show that person love, pray them through. Amen. That's real charity. That's where we rejoice when people were down. Then when you see that God have lifted them up, and you can rejoice with that. Amen. And charity, verse 7 says, it bears all things, it believes all things, and it hopeth all things, and it endures all things. We talk about forbearance, long suffering. We talk about tolerant, a church of compassion. And then verse 8 says charity, it never fails. It's not going to fail. Love never fails. You can never go wrong showing love, even if you're rejected. But see, God sees the heart. Man will look at the outward appearance and see that's what you get. It says, that's what you get for doing this, and now look what you are now. hey, you need to look at God. We look at him. Are we pleasing him? We need to live our life that he is pleased with. In fact, we're reading the scripture every day this month. It's 1 Thessalonians 4 and 1. And, you know, Paul said, look, I gave you instructions. I already taught you. You ought to know how to walk. And you have to know how to walk to please God. So you will abound more and more. In other words, you'll gain greater perfection in learning how to live this life to please God. Amen. So in other words, it says, learn more. Get into God more. Open our hearts more and more to God. And we learn how to love. Learn how to live that God will be pleased with your life. I don't know about you, but I want God to say at the end of the day, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter in, come on in to the rest and the goodness of the Lord. Don't you? Amen. Hallelujah. Say amen to that. Yes, yes, yes. I want to read again. There's another scripture, and this one, it talks about the compassion of Jesus. And we know this very, very well. It is Matthew's 15 and 32. Matthew's 15 and 32. And it reads, says, then Jesus called his disciples unto him, and he said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days. They've been here with me and have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting or hungry. Send them away hungry, lest they faint along the way. That's love. That's compassion. Praise God. But look, the disciples said unto him, when should we have so much bread in the wilderness and to fill so great a multitude? In other words, he said, how in the world can we feed these people? So he said, send them away. But Jesus said unto him, he said unto them, to the disciples, he says, all right, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7, and a few little fish. This is Matthew's account of this. And he said that, and he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. Hallelujah. In other words, he insisted on them sitting down, and he insisted on being hospitable to them. Jesus insisted on being generous to them. Hallelujah. Oh, my God. This is a perfect example, good example for us. And it says that, and he took the 7 loaves and the fishes, and he gave thanks, and he broke them, and he gave it to the disciples, and the disciples gave it to the multitude. And they did eat, and they were all filled. And they took up of the broken pieces that were left 7 baskets full. My God. If that ever was a time of generosity and love and compassion, that was it. Amen. Praise God. So Hebrews, I want to say, for Hebrews 4 and 15 says, for understand that Jesus, he is our example. He is our soon coming king. He is our high priest. But Hebrews 4 and 15 says, recognize this, for we have not and high priest, which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, just like you and I, but yet without sin. In other words, Jesus has that heart of compassion. He had compassion. Think about it. When the woman was caught in the very act of adultery, and they were really accusing her and said, stone her, stone her. But the compassionate side of Jesus, he began to write on the ground, hallelujah, and said that you, without the first, without sin, I want you, go ahead and cast the first stone. Compassion. Thank God. Aren't you grateful? I know I am. I am so thankful God has compassion on me. That's why he gives us new mercies every day. My God, if it were up to man, we would be cut off. We would be lost. We would be terminated a long time ago. But thank God for his compassion, for his mercies. The Bible says like this, tender, loving mercies. Hallelujah. Praise God. So, in just in closing, the church or the body of believers, you and I, we must have the passion and compassion of Jesus Christ. That's a must. See, the love of Jesus must be in your heart in order to reach the lost, the suffering, the confused, the beaten down, the forsaken, the people that don't have hope, that are spiritually dead. Oh, they're walking around looking fine, but they are spiritually dead. Our church ought to be, when I say our church, I'm talking about the church, the body of believers worldwide. It's the church itself. Even when government into the building, it should be a hospital for those that are sick and suffering. They need to come and hear the word of God, hear that deliverance message that Jesus loved them, that Jesus died, that Jesus is their hope. Hallelujah. That they can have life abundantly. That's what our purpose is as a church of compassion. Say amen to that. So we ought to be that place that people can get revived and understand what it means to have God on their side. The scripture says, as we have opportunity, as you see the opportunity, it will present itself. Do good to all men. Talk about the goodness of Jesus. You could be in the supermarket. You don't have to have a pulpit ministry. Every one of us are ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are living testimonies, living witnesses. And certainly we can say, yes, the Lord is good. Amen, amen. And his grace is sufficient for us. And you know, we need to learn how to throw out that lifeline, help spread the plan of salvation to someone else. That's kingdom work. That's where you are. As we are kingdom believers, we are disciples of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The scripture says, let men and women see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let them see it. How are they going to see it unless we show the love of Christ? Let that compassion show through us. Let that unselfish love that God wants us to show one to the other. So as believers, we ought to have a burden for the lost. Oh, yes, yeah, so much so that we pray and we cry out day and night, Lord, save. My God, when you don't need to listen to the news long, but just listen. I mean, just the things that are happening. Our children are being taken out of the schools, and the enemy is bold, walking right in and open up fire. My God, is this the time? Yes, this is the time where the church needs to be the church, church of compassion. You don't need to know them personally. Just know that that's somebody's child, that's somebody's husband or wife or whatever, relative or even a friend, co-worker. Pray for them. Go to God and say, God, in the name of Jesus, set them free. Let the anointing of the Holy Spirit be with them. Give them strength, Father. Just like we pray for our children. Pastor, we're talking about it Sunday. We pray every time that our children go to school safely on the bus. God protects them, takes them there, keeps them in the schoolroom, and then brings them home one more time. It's time to say thank you, Jesus. Glory, glory to God. So as believers, as the scripture says, that we need to intercede on behalf of others. We need to continue to pray. Pray without ceasing, as the scripture says. Remember this, love is action. Faith without works is dead. Mm-hmm. And ask God to use your life to make a difference in someone else. Amen, amen. I hope you got the picture. I hope you grasp the message tonight and says, wow, I am the church of compassion because I am a believer. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. And this is what God expects us to be, nothing less, a church of compassion. Our Heavenly Father, we praise you tonight. Oh, my God, we thank you. We thank you, God. I felt the anointing. I felt the very power of God as your word was going forth on tonight. Father, I thank you, Holy Spirit, for the word that you have brought to us. letting us know, reminding us who we are, a church of compassion, to love one another. Father, we thank you, God, because, God, after we have heard your word, and I know the Holy Spirit has settled this in our hearts, help us to walk in the light as you're in the light, and that we will have fellowship one with the other. Father, we come to you, and we just praise you, God. We thank you for every single person that's on this prayer line tonight. We pray, God, that you would just bless them, God. Lord, even every week as they come on, that they would mount up in love, mount up that word would take root in their heart, God. Father, that you would increase their faith, Father, in the name of Jesus. Every household, every family that's represented tonight, God, because we are believers, because we are the Church of Compassion, we pray, God, for our loved ones, for our families, oh, God, for our co-workers, God. We pray, Father God, for those that are sick, and God, they're shut in, Father. You know them name by name. Hallelujah. You know them, God, and we pray that you would just continue to give them the strength. Father, just help them to grab hold of your word, to know that you are the Lord, thy God, that heals them, that healing is the children's bread. Hallelujah. That you said that you would that we would prosper and be in health, even as our soul shall prosper. So, God, I pray for those, God, I lift them up before you, Father, those that are hurting, God, those that are that bodies are racking with pain, those that have had such a doctor's report that doesn't seem like there is hope, but, God, there's always hope. Hallelujah. God, because we have your word, God. We know that you will never leave or forsake us. You're always with us, even to the end of the world. So, Father, I ask that those that have their head hung down, that are burdened, that are weak in you, God, lift them up. Lift them up where they belong, Father. Encourage, Father, in the name of Jesus. And God, we pray, Father, we pray for those that are hurting tonight. Those that are that don't know you as hope and as the strength, God. I pray, God, for those that are bereaved and their hearts are heavy. Father, just be that comfort. Let the power of the Holy Spirit just comfort them. Comfort their hearts, Father. Oh, my God, even, God, the family of the victims that were killed. Father, you know. You know all about it, Lord. You know, God, that God, that let that Holy Spirit just cover them, Father. Just cover them. God, send the people in their lives, oh, God, that will give them strength and give them your word, God. Because we look, God, we know heaven and earth going to pass away, but God, your word. Your word never will pass away. You are faithful. That promise, you promised us. And God, we can rest assured and know that you are faithful, that you honor your word tonight. And God, we love you, God. We will love you continuously. God, and your praise shall continually be in our mouths, God, in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you for every person on this line. Thank you, God. You know them name by name. I may not call their name, but God, I lifted everyone up before you. I lift up the circumstances and the various things, God, that they have on their prayer list, God. You are able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we could ask or even think. And Father, we praise you, God. We ask you to bless the Petersville Baptist Church, not only the Petersville Baptist Church, all the churches, all that body of Christ, that we will be that the church, one of the churches, God, that shows that love and shows that compassion one to the other. Bless, God, our mother in the church, and bless our father in the church, and God, and his family, God, and Sister Mary, God, strengthen tonight, Father, in Jesus' name. God, we lift up Mother Anderson, how you bless her to continue to come out to the service. We thank you for that, Father. We thank you for every officer. We thank you, God, for all that all our needs are met according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So God, we praise you. We praise you even for all our ministers. God, even for every lay person. God, we thank you for every person that walked through the doors. God, that they will feel the love of Jesus. God, that we will love, God, like you have said that we should love one another. Hallelujah, that we will comfort one another. Hallelujah, that there will be that peace that surpasses all understanding, that peace that keeps our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And Father, we thank you. We count that done. Oh God, hallelujah. God, raise up prayer warriors. Raise us up again, God. In this day and time, we need people on the wall that would pray, that would earnestly pray. Hallelujah, God, and then give your name glory and honor, God. Give us, oh God, reunite us again, ignite us again. Let the Holy Ghost fire help us, Lord. Give us direction and wisdom, hallelujah, to be true prayer warriors, God. We don't even have to be at the church, God, because you fill all space. Hallelujah. You're omnipresent, God. You're everywhere at the same time. We just need to call on you. As you said, call on me and see when I do great and mighty things. And Father, we ask these blessings. And we just believe you. And we thank you for the answers. And we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Amen and amen. We glorify God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's just praise God. The few minutes that we have, let's give God the praise on this line. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. I know that we give you the praise tonight. Yes, we lift your name. We lift you tonight, God. Hallelujah. We thank you, God. We're not ashamed to praise you. But, God, we lift our voice to give your name the glory, the honor, and the praise. It do your name. It belongs to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I'm kind of like Minister Joseph last night. He said, boy, my time is gone. My time is gone. But I praise God that we can still stay united in the Spirit. And I pray that you have been blessed tonight. Thank you again for your participation. Thank you for calling and dialing in that you may receive what thus saith the Lord. So with that said, you know we love you. Pastor loves you. I love you. And we ask for your continued prayer. You pray for me. I'll pray for you. And we will watch God change things. So I'll say, God bless you, love you, and be blessed. Good night.
Good night.
All right.